Esther chapter 3. So we'll take a look at the background here, at least in these few verses, so that we can see what's going on in the book of Esther. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him, and all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, "Why transgresseth thou the king's commandment?" Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. And so the story goes, if we go to chapter 3, verse 13, so we'll jump to verse 13. And so there are some things that transpired, and it transpired to this one in verse 13. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. And so we see this in this story. We can see that there was Haman and there's Mordecai, and there are some things that happened where it finally came to a point where Haman went to the king and said, "We have to destroy these people." So we'll go to our text, and that is our background, and we will look more into that. Our text is in chapter number 4, beginning in verse 10. So let's all stand and we'll read verses 10 to 17, Esther chapter 4. Again, Esther spake unto Hathach and gave him commandment unto Mordecai and all the king's servants, and the people of the king's provinces do know that whatsoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come into the unto the king's this 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there be destroyed, then shall there be enlargement or relief and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther has commanded him. So tonight we'll look at this text, and primarily we'll look at the book, not only the book of Esther, but here is a situation where the Jewish people are in the midst of captivity. They are slaves under the Persian rule. And so things have happened to where it came to a point where finally there was Haman and was able to convince the king that these people must be destroyed. in our time, we could see this situation, but the question is, where is God? So I titled this message, When God is Not There. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. Bless your word. May you teach us from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When God is not there, they are in the midst of captivity. They were in the land of promise. And for all that, they disobeyed God. And I think in this case here, we will look at this background. This is Haman. First of all, Haman is an Agagite. They say, so what does it has to do with what is happening here in the book of Esther? Well, Haman is a descendant of a king, an Amalekite king, Agag. So we look at a story in Samuel. King Saul failed to completely obey God when he did not destroy the Amalekites, who were, by the way, the first to attempt to destroy the Jewish people. So Haman and Mordecai seems like they knew the history behind their hatred of each other. Here, I don't know how many years, 1,000 years in between, and they still hate each other. It is not an accident that here is Haman found out he was a Jewish person. And I think we'll see that later on when Mordecai said, don't let the king know your people, Esther, who your people are. Because there is something going on in that background. But our human experience, God seems silent and absent in times of our trial. We will see this in our story. We will look at when God is not there. We despair when we fail to understand or explain why bad things happen to us. Our situation seems hopeless when surrounded by enemies, especially when we are in the middle of the enemies. We want to know, why are we here? We want to know. We want assurance from God. We assume, by the way, that we are the good guys. We are the people of God. Therefore, God will keep us safe from all evils of life. This morning, we found out from Pastor Koch that it's not so. In the book of Hebrews, they said, some were persecuted. So tonight we'll look at what does the Bible remind us and how does the scripture remind us? What should we remember when we come to a place where God seems to be not there? He is not present. I think first of all, we have to remember He is all present even when we feel our God is totally silent. In the book of Esther, he is totally silent. What are missing or not mentioned in the book of Esther? God is not mentioned. The law of Moses, the law of God is not mentioned. Prayer is not mentioned, although the concept is there. Worship, Jerusalem is not mentioned. Sacrifices, temple. It's totally opposite when we read the book of Daniel, but in the book of Esther, God is silent. There were no answers from God. There were no prophets that prophesied the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. There was no angel. There was no messenger coming from the Lord that brought the good news, that brought the word of God. The book of Esther is silent. But he is all present, even when we feel our God is totally silent. He is there. Back in 1984, long time ago, some of you are probably not born, I was on USS Saipan. LHA-2, it's an amphibious assault ship. It's a amphibious assault ship going through the Atlantic Ocean back in 94 on rough seas. I was new. I was just not even a year in the Navy. And so I was there. And of course, when you're lower in the totem pole, I mean the lowest, right, they give you all the good job, right? So, yeah, so they hand me a clipboard with all the spaces in engineering. And they go, oh, by the way, you have a mid-watch, right? So that means you get up at 11 and you start a watch from midnight to about 6 in the morning, maybe 4, depending if the other guy will get up. And so you walk around, and my job is to make sure that every engineering spaces on the lower spaces, meaning below waterline, is not flooding. And so you're sounding and security watch. So you drop some kind of a measuring device, make sure the water level is not rising, or you go down the space. And so it's straight down, and LHA is huge. It's like a carrier, only it's an amphibious ship. And so I go there, go down, and at this time, it was rough sea. So you have to, one or two spaces, I have to open the weather deck door, so you go out to the weather deck. And so you go out, and I was like, I mean, this is my first experience on a ship on a rough seas in Atlantic Ocean, and I go, it's pitch black, and all I could hear the waves hitting the side of the ship, and I go, there's no way I'll survive if I fall at this time. And so on a ship, there is something that they do, what we call it man overboard drill. So we say, what is that? Well, every now and then, we have to know, make sure everyone is accounted for. So what captain will do is during the day or during any time of the day, he will call that drill, but he will grab one or two people and hide them in his stateroom. The captain wanted to know that, are you accounting for everyone? You cannot just say, yep, everyone's here. Let's go back to sleep. No, they were given that task every now and then. So when the list comes out, the captain wants to know, are you truly accounting for everyone? And so we will put there the names of the people. We are missing so and so. Are they really missing? No. They're still there. Sometimes in life, we experience things. We go through darkness in our lives, in some points in time. Psalm 23, verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So even though they're not there physically, looking at the list, the captain knows they're there. God knows our struggles. Even when he seems silent, God is listening when his people call upon him for help. I mean, Jesus knew Lazarus. He knew Lazarus. He knew about him. And he knew when he purposely did not get there until 4 days later. Now think about that. Martha, Mary, they were even thinking, Lord, I think if you were here, he would not have died. But Jesus knew. He was there, but he was there on time. He was not late. How do we know that God is present in every situation? Well, we tend to see God's hand in a situation when the results are good. I think we do well. When things are going good, we can say, you know what, God's hand is on this. It's just like every step, God has opened doors or God has sent some help when things are good. But when things are bad, when things go from bad to worse, I think that's when we struggle more. I think we struggle more to say, is God in this? Or how can this be? I think that's the natural tendency of our I would say sin nature. Even though we are saved, we still have that nature where I walk by faith, not by sight. But when things go worse, I think we tend to doubt. We tend to struggle and feel His presence in heartbreaking circumstances, at least during the time when we are experiencing them. Let's go back to Esther. We can see the providence of God. Yes, His name is not mentioned. No Jerusalem, no temple, no word from a prophet, no good news coming from another place. But yet, let's take a look at the fingerprints of God. While Queen Vashti disobeyed the order of her king. Was that an accident? Here's a king with a queen. It looks like she's a beautiful queen. But yet that queen disobeyed the king. Then the king listened to his wise men to punish the queen. And who ended up being the queen? Esther became the queen. Is that an accident? Then Mordecai happened to save the king's life. But here's the thing. Nothing was done for him. He was not given any reward. Was that an accident? I don't think so. But at that time, nothing was done for him. But it will come back. Then what? They happened to cast lot. I would assume it's like a dice. And even that dice, they call it pure, and I think they celebrate Purim. They cast lot to determine the day the Jewish people would be destroyed. Remember, they say would be destroyed in one day. And it happened to fall on, that's 11 months from now. Was that an accident? It could have fell on that same month. Haman made a gallows. It was for Mordecai. He made a gallows to hang Mordecai, then went that evening to speak to the king. Haman could not wait to hang Mordecai, so he went to the king that evening. Wow, he didn't wait the next day. And what was happening during that evening? The king could not sleep. The king could not sleep. And so, in the same evening, the king could not sleep and asked somebody to read to him bedtime stories, right? Okay, to read to him. Yes, it's called Chronicles. And guess where they read from the Chronicles? They read where Mordecai saved his life. And guess what his question was? Was there anything done for Mordecai? He wasn't given any recognition at that time. But why in this evening that he was there in the book that the king was reading? Was that an accident? I don't think so. And Haman happened to be outside. And Haman happened to be in the king's court right after the king heard about the deeds of Mordecai. When we look at the big picture, this is the fingerprints of God. He is not mentioned. Nothing on prayer. Nothing on anyone coming in that thus saith the Lord. But when we look at the big picture, the fingerprints of God are all over the book of Esther. What else could we keep in mind when we don't see God in the moment? And that is the thing. In the moment, is Haman thinking, I'm going to get the gallows instead of him? Okay, was Esther thinking, we come to this place, I'm the queen. Will she be thinking there will come a point that they will be annihilated? So those questions, when we ask and we look at a certain specific story, we may not see God. But we are privileged to look back. We are privileged to look at the book of Esther and see the whole story. That there is a second thing we have to keep in mind. We have to keep in mind when we don't see God in a moment, that is to know that He is all-knowing, even when we think our calling has lost its meaning. Let's go back to Esther chapter 4. Esther chapter 4, let's read in verse 14. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews." Esther, you're not special. You may be the queen, but this is a different situation. In verse 14 it says, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then there shall be enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But, here is, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Who knows, Esther, if this is especially the time that God had placed you? The place and time is no accident. God prepared some people for such a time as this. He is all-knowing even when we think our calling has lost its meaning. Think about that. We were the chosen. We were in the place, the paradise, and now we are in a foreign land. Was that God's plan? But God knows what He is doing. God prepares His people in order to face their times of struggles. God called us and saved us for His own purposes. The Holy Spirit gifted us to prepare us for service. But then there will come a time where we serve God and then suddenly it turns bad. And not only it turns bad, it turns worse. After that, Job chapter 3, verses 1 to 5 says this. "After this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, There is a man child conceived. Let the day of darkness, let not God regard it from above. Neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of that day terrify it." When Job was suffering, and we know that, like I said, we look at what God, the author, is saying. That Job is suffering for no reason at all than God saying to Satan, "Have you seen my servant Job?" And so when Job was experiencing this, he said, "I don't want to remember the day that I was born." I think there's time where we will lose that. Do we have meaning in life? Did God call me here and now I'm experiencing these things? Yes, He is still all-knowing, even when we think our calling has lost its meaning. That is our emotion, that is our feeling, but our God is asking even Esther, "Who knows through Mordecai, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" I don't know what you're experiencing, but the question is why, and not only why, but what do you think God is doing here? You may not answer that immediately or today or tomorrow in a week. But we have to stay within that understanding of who God is. Not only that He is all present. He is all present in Esther, in the book of Esther, in the story of Esther. Even when we feel that He is all silent, totally silent. He is all-knowing. our feeling may be, I don't know if this is what God wants me to do. I think, my friends, you and I will get to that point. We will doubt, we will have some of that. Is this what God wants me to do? Well, God says to Esther, maybe, just maybe, this is exactly where God wants you at this time in this place. Job did not want to know, even remember when he was born. God is working his will even when we are not sure how to work out his will in difficult situations. It is sometimes hard to determine our purpose or calling when things go wrong in our life, especially when you and I are doing right. Joseph was sold to his by his brothers to slavery. Let's think about Joseph, a young man, grew up, got in jail, went in, went out, went back in, and he was in the presence of God. Daniel and his friends were taken to be trained to serve a pagan king. Is that a calling that we think that God is guiding us? I'm sure there are times where you and I will doubt, but make no mistake about it. He is all-knowing. He is all-present. We know about Elijah. He thought he was the only one left and failed to eradicate the Baal worship in Israel. So Elijah said, I am the only one. He was there. He was defeating these prophets. Then there came a point where they're still there. It came a point where I did not succeed to what God has given me to do, the job that God has given me. No, God came back and said, you're not alone. Even though you feel you failed, you are not alone. All-knowing God is there. The all-present God is there. We may begin to question why we are in this place. Why are we living in the center of this chaos? John the Baptist. Friends, we are in good company when we look at that. We are human. We have that tendency. But we should not forget, like Mordecai saying, why? Think of it. Think. Think that whether art thou, you come to this kingdom for such a time as this. John the Baptist seemed to doubt if Jesus is the Christ, maybe because of the suffering that he was experiencing at that time. Where was he at that time? He was in jail. Oh, behold the Lamb of God. But sometimes we have an idea. Lord, I am on your side. And if I'm on your side and I'm doing your will, then you should be establishing the kingdom. Can I sit on your right side? And I'm on your left side. No, my friends, when we see God, we don't see him physically, not visually, but when we look at that story, and that's the beauty, is the overall story. Your story, my story, is still ongoing. Do not lose heart. He is all present even when you think that he is totally silent. He is all knowing. He knows what he's doing even when we think we lost the meaning of why we're here. There's a third concept. Let's go back to our text in Esther chapter 4. But before we do that, let me read Philippians 1:29. Philippians 1:29 says, for unto you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. We pray for Robert and his family, his dad, especially when Nana Monica died, we just missed her. She died that day. We were going to see her, but she was already dead. She just died when we got to the hospital. And the body's still warm. And I see Robert. He did not have time to grieve. He was there making phone calls. His uncle was there, his brother and sister, but he's the oldest. So he would be calling, and his mother just died. Not even an hour, I don't think so. So he was calling the funeral home. He was calling the insurance. He was calling, and the funeral homes called another funeral home in the Philippines and making arrangements. This is just, I would say, an hour, within 2 hours after his mother died. And this is after, I would say before that, his uncle died, the oldest brother of his father. And then right after, I think the day after, his dad went to the hospital having the same symptoms as his mother. And so we knew, some of you were in the funeral, his father wasn't there. And so we can see that when bad goes to worse, what do you do? Where are you? Why are you here? So let's go to Esther chapter 4 again. And this time we'll look at verse 14 again. It says, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there relief or enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." And in verse 16 says, "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." So these verses are saying there is a third concept. Yes, he may be silent. He may be totally silent, but he's not. He is all present. You may lose the meaning. Why am I here? Why is this happening? No, he's all knowing. He knows. He knows exactly where you will be and what you should be doing. But thirdly, he is all powerful. Even when we believe, our deliverance is doubtful. They didn't know. They resigned. I think they looked like, "Hey, Esther, you got to do it. You got to do it. You're going to perish. Whether you do it or not, you'll perish." And that's what she said. "If I perish, I perish." But who is God? He is all powerful. Even when you and I, can believe that there's no hope. We believe our deliverance is doubtful, but God is all powerful. Let me read again verse 14. "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, there shall there relief or enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." We all have experienced and or will experience trials that could seem impossible to bear. We felt we were left to solve our problems on our own. There is no light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. But God is protecting his people even in the place of his enemies. When we look at these, it says, we are not looking at a God that is dependent on us. Look at verse 14 again. It says, "If you don't do anything," let me read in my version, right? "If you don't do anything, Esther, God is not limited to you." God can have somebody else from another place that can do the will of God. We also see the sovereignty of God that worketh all things according to his will. what is really at stake here. When we look at the overall picture, it is the covenants of God. Imagine if the Jews are annihilated. What would happen to the promises of God? That's how big our God is. Abrahamic covenant, Davidic covenant. We have to remember those. This is not just God promising us, Christians. Remember, His words were from the beginning. When He said He will do what He wills through Abraham, David, and all the promises to the new covenant, which we are partakers of as a church, it will be done. God uses secondary means, usually to fulfill His will. He is not limited to or dependent upon the decisions of us or people. The will and choices of man are part of His plan and purpose to accomplish His will. Relief and deliverance. God would send a deliverer in one way or another. He is all-powerful, even when we believe that our deliverance will not happen anymore. Our deliverance is doubtful to us. No, He could send somebody, and God would send a deliverer at this time or another time, or God would send a deliverer from this place or another place. So what should we remind ourselves? God is not mentioned in Esther. There are no prophets. He is silent. But here's what we need to remember. Especially the young people, you will experience these things. No, God is all present, even when we feel our God is totally silent. He is all-knowing, even when you think that our calling has lost its meaning. And He is all-powerful, even when we believe our deliverance is doubtful. That is the God that we serve. Let us pray. Father, we thank You, Lord.